Hi, I'm Dr. Paula Redmond, clinical psychologist, and I'm really excited to welcome you back for season 5 of the When Work Hurts podcast. On this show, I want to explore the stories behind the statistics of the mental health crisis faced by health professionals today and provide hope for a way out through compassion, connection, and creativity. This season is brought to you by the Association of Clinical Psychologists, the representative professional body for clinical psychologists in the UK. Join me as I talk to inspiring clinical psychologists about their work in this field and learn how we can support ourselves and each other when work hurts.
Dipping in and out of therapy and just continuing to explore myself in that way is one of the ways that I manage the impact of my work, actually. Another way that I manage the impact of my work is having excellent supervision. So as a clinical psychologist, it's a requirement of my registration that I remain in clinical supervision. I also deliver clinical supervision as part of my work. And those connections and those conversations that I have both with my supervisors and with my supervisees all sustain me in many, many ways. Just sharing that common experience, whether it's with a supervisor or a supervisee, that we're all in some way wounded healers. We're all in some way dealing with our own stuff, but also, carrying the weight of the traumas that we work with.
It's fair to say that EMDR changed my life personally with that experience and other things as well that I reprocessed, but also it's changed my life professionally, because not only would it be making that difference in people's lives, it gives me such pleasure now in training other mental health professionals to deliver EMDR therapy and deliver it well so they can go out and make that difference in people's lives too.
So for me, debriefing and staff support is best understood as a post-event reflective space. And that's why we actually made the choice to call the guidelines post-event team reflections, or PETAs, how we refer to it, because we felt describing it as a reflective space was a much more accurate description of actually what we're aiming to do in that space. So in a staff support context, typically when we create those reflective spaces for staff after distressing or potentially traumatic events, it's not for the purpose of processing trauma, but simply actually to create a space for the staff to develop a shared understanding of what happened and a shared story of what they've been through together. And then to have the opportunity to ask any questions and address any sort of misunderstandings or concerns about the event. And then the really key thing is to create a space for them to build upon that shared story, to get a sense of cohesion, connection with colleagues, collective efficacy. So an individual sense of self-efficacy, but also a collective sense of self-efficacy, a collective community efficacy. And hopefully draw a sense of meaning and connection with their values through this reflective conversation.
So that idea of pausing and slowing down and grounding people, the very few opportunities seen, how can we create things in hospitals that invite people, just gently nudge them to slow things down a bit? And therefore, linked to that, when we're trying to trigger people's soothe systems, how do we get people to connect with each other a bit more? There are just so many times when I listen to people talk about how they're at work, but they do feel on their own with something. And I guess it's how can the artwork and what we're doing connect people and give them a sense of connection, not just with each other, but with our projects, the community as well.
We need ways of thinking about situations which are non-standard, which in our particular line of work may have enormous emotional impact and mean it's not just about thinking through them, but how we feel and dealing with emotional impact. But also we might need to draw on creative and a whole range of kind of resources to make sense of more complex, ambiguous, uncertain, emotionally impactful situations.
The origins of the Tree of Life is that it's a community healing approach, called the Tree of Life, where the tree was used as a symbol of growth, of protection, of strength, of, you know, even in a ground that has been scorched, you know, and burnt, you know, some the area has been burnt to the ground, you know, trees can regrow. And I think so there was this incredible symbolism that was important about the tree, and the tree was seen as a sort of, this symbol, but also a kind of point where people would tell stories, and the tree was used to help tell stories about themselves. And these were stories about overcoming adversity, overcoming problems, you know, all of these kind of traumas. And so stories of strength and resilience.
The new season launches on the 26th of March, 2024, and it'll be available on all the major podcast apps. Subscribe now so you don't miss out.